August meeting of Community and Regional Affairs will now come to order. Let the record reflect that Representative Cott, Representative Ledoux, Representative Thomas, and Representative Olson are in attendance. First order of business will be House Bill 334. Jim Pound.
Representative Ramirez, I see.
Good morning, Mr. Pound.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jim Pound, staff to Representative Jay Ramirez. House Bill 334 is a development bill. Actually, it's a redevelopment bill. In several communities around the state, there are buildings that are in need of repair. I'm referring to abandoned structures that were built during one of our previous boom cycles. Examples include the McKay Building in Anchorage, and of more interest to the sponsor, the Polaris Building in Fairbanks. Currently, because of the improvements in our economy, there are developers starting to relook at these buildings. The plan is very basic. Take the basic structure of the building, which is sound, gut it, and then by rechanging into and converting the interior into either offices or condominiums. Now, how does HB 334 help with this plan? Current statute allows for deferring property taxes on these structures while they are being refurbished. However, the language is not clear when that deferment ends. This uncertainty makes it difficult for these developers to borrow money, and by adding the language, the deferment ends only when a portion or all of the building is transferred from the original developer. This will help them in securing loans, as it gives them some finality as to when the actual deferred taxes are going to have to be paid. I urge your support for HB 334. I can answer any questions.
Let the record reflect that we've been joined by Representative Sussman, Representative Newman, and Representative Salmon. We've got a full committee this morning. Thank you, Jim. Any questions for Jim?
Co-chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Don't the local communities have the option to exempt?
Through the chair, they do have the option, and this bill does not change that option. I mean, they still have the option to exempt. My understanding is in the McKay Building case, the municipality of Anchorage did decide to defer until only. This just basically clarifies existing language to make it only. So that there is, the problem is certainty. In other words, if you go to a bank and say, well, I'm going to refurbish this building, and they say, okay, and what's your arrangement with the municipality? You can say, well, I have deferred taxes, and they go, oh, well, when do they end? And you say, well, I don't know. They could end tomorrow, or they could end 10 years from now. It makes banks a little, or financial institutions a little nervous.
Thank you.
Representative Ledoux.
I noticed that there's a change in here about when the deferrals may be granted or under this section. The date is July 1st, 2010, and that's line 13. When was it previously?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, the reason that language was put in there is that this entire section of statute has a July 1st, 2010 sunset date. And that the date has been renewed a couple of times. I'm not exactly sure when it was first put into place, but the reason we put the sunset date in this is that if we didn't, everything around it would sunset, and this would still be sitting on the statute.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there a fiscal note?
Any other questions? We've got Steve Van Zandt online. If anybody. Wants to toss anything out to Steve. What are the intents of the committee? Anybody else online that has any questions?
Anybody in the
audience? Anybody in the audience would care to testify? What's the intent? Mr. Co-Chair.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we move HB 334 from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Any opposition? It's moved out of committee with the appropriate fiscal notes and comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
Thank you. The next order of business will be House Bill 371, and I believe there's a committee substitute.
I move committee substitute for CS for HB 371.
Any opposition? Take it up for working, working document as it's been passed out. I believe the first person will be Sally Sadler.
Where's the change at in here?
Please identify yourself for the record.
Chairman Olson, members of the committee, thank you. I'm Sally Sadler, the legislative liaison for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to hear House Bill 371 today. It's the governor's bill to establish a community dividend program. By our reckoning, I think there are now 13 revenue-sharing bills that we have out there, that you all have out there to consider. And while, of course, we see merits in House Bill 371, the administration does welcome the opportunity to work with you all to craft a sustainable community dividend program or revenue-sharing type of program for the communities. What I'd like to do is just real quickly go through what this legislation does. It calls for establishing a community dividend program funded with what we consider a reliable, sustainable source, an estimated $27.6 million from the annual earnings of the Alaska Capital Income Fund. What we're looking at are base grants that will go to all cities and boroughs, and there's sort of a three-tiered process to this legislation. And in the first tier, there would be $10 million that we would see being distributed to all cities and boroughs on a graduated basis. So those cities with less than 100 residents would receive $25,000. Cities with 100 to 249 residents would receive $30,000. Cities with 250 to 500 residents receive $35,000. Cities with more than 500 residents would receive a base of $40,000, and then all boroughs would receive a base of $50,000. The balance of that $10 million after distributing that base amount would then be allocated on a per capita basis to each of those areas. We're also looking, the second part of the legislation calls for financial incentives for borough organization. What this legislation would do is increase the incorporation grants for areas that organize into boroughs. We would be looking at, in the first year, $1 million, $1 million in the second year, and $500,000 in the third year. It's currently $300,000, $200,000, and $100,000 for organizational grants. The third part of this legislation would be that any supplemental grants would go to the organized boroughs. So the remaining balance of probably about $16.6 million would be distributed to organized boroughs on a per capita basis. And we're looking at the community dividend payments being used for those essential public services, public safety, infrastructure, maintenance, education, and fuel. So with that, I'd be happy to entertain any questions. I would note that I have Bill Rolfson, our institutional wisdom with revenue sharing and community dividend programs, in the audience, and I'm sure he can help me field any questions that may arise.
Representative Salmon.
Yes. Question I have is the unincorporated villages included in this?
The unincorporated communities are not included in this legislation, through the chair, Representative Salmon.
Co-chair.
That's why the CS. The CS is, allows them to be in there. And we're trying to be consistent with all the bills that we've moved out of CNRE. It's our feeling that oil money is belongs to the people, whether they're unincorporated or not. So that's why the CS. Am I correct?
Representative Newman?
Huh? I was just trying to, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to understand why the CS here. The question that I have is, you say the grant money awarded under this program to municipalities may be used only for the following services of police, fire, infrastructure, public education, and fuel costs. The Mattsu Borough, in discussions that I've had with those folks, say that any community dividend program that they receive would go to relief of property taxes. I believe this Anchorage also said that if they got that, it would go to relief of property taxes.
We'll have Casey explain this. Yes.
Bill,
so,
do you have any comments?
Could this be amended to allow communities to use this for relief of property taxes?
Well, certainly it is, through the chair, Representative Newman, I think it is within the purview of the committee to make that kind of an amendment.
I think it might be appropriate to have Casey explain the CS at this time.
Also, yeah.
He's right.
Good morning. For the record, Casey Schroeder-Hotch, staff to Rep. Thomas. So the CS allows unincorporated communities to get grants under the bill, and the first change you'll find on page 2, and it's capital B, and it says each city or reserve. So the reserve, only reserve in Alaska is Metlakatla, so we chose to treat Metlakatla as a city. So under the formula, they would fall under 4, because they have more than 500 people, so they would get a $40,000 grant. And then the other change is just below that, number 2, and that gives $25,000 to each community. And then on the last page, page 4, there's a definition of community, which is a place in an unorganized borough that has 25 or more people living together as a social unit. And that's a definition that's been used in other community revenue sharing bills.
Representative Ledoux.
Well, the problem with this, and I guess I'm wondering why it was done this way, is I've got a number of communities in my district which are in the organized borough, either Lake or Penn or Kodiak, but are not cities. And so I've got a little problem with this, that it seems like my communities are being penalized because they happen to be in a borough, and they're going to end up getting less than they would if they were in an unorganized borough. So I guess my question is, why were they excluded?
Casey?
I guess that might have been an oversight, and we could easily amend it to include those communities. That was not the intent.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 2, it says to each city or reserve. What is a reserve?
A reserve is, it's like a Indian reservation, and in Alaska there's only one. And instead of saying Metlakatla, they always use that legal definition right there. So that's
Mr. Chair. So on page 4, where it says community means a place in an unorganized borough that is not incorporated as a city, that am I to understand that an unorganized city would qualify for this dividend program?
Through the chair, yes.
And one more question, Mr.
Follow.
Chair.
Yep.
Would it be, I don't know who to ask here, but could we offer an amendment that municipalities could use this for property tax deduction?
It appears
or
relief
for property taxes also?
Not a problem.
So I guess I'm offering that amendment. Do we vote on that? Or?
No objection.
Any objection?
Do you have language that you want to...
I guess I could create language.
Right, unless we have some. But, if you have some.
Can I offer a conceptual amendment that the communities in the unorganized boroughs would be included also, and make it a conceptual amendment?
Sure.
Do you mean, through the chair, do you mean organized or unorganized?
Communities in the organized borough also included.
Any opposition? Any other questions for Ms. Schroeder? Thanks, Casey. We've got several people in the audience would like to testify.
Unintended oversight.
John Boucher? Mosher? Yeah, questions only. Kevin Ritchie, probably have something you want to add.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kevin Ritchie with the Alaska Municipal League. We want to thank you for having hearings so quickly on this bill. It's obviously a real key bill for all of your communities. Just for information, I did put on put on your desk some editorials. We can get the Voice of the Times and the Daily News editorials syncing That's a pretty broad support for concept. And the priorities of the Alaska Municipal League are in the document in front of you. The two things that I would comment on the bill is to provide substantial property tax relief, which is a very high priority as well. You'll probably need something closer to what we have in our priority list, which is about $75 million. So this is a very good base, and obviously there's other thoughts about adding funding to it to have a very sustainable program, which not only helps small communities, but also provides substantial property tax relief. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, and I want to thank you for hearing this bill.
Any questions for Mr. Ritchie?
Maybe just a comment, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
I think these are probably, all the bills are going to end up somewhere, and somebody's going to have melting and putting them all together and ending them with one. But I think the idea is that we continue to move the ideas forward, and then we'll see what happens, Kevin. So.
Yes, that's
recognize call everybody else here.
Pardon me?
Recognize Moses.
Yeah, I'd like to acknowledge the presence of Representative Moses. Would you care to join us up here? We've got an extra chair. He's definitely been involved in municipal assistance for a number of years. Representative Sisna.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I kind of, this is a follow-up on the co-chair's comments, and that is, I'm thinking of all these other bills, and I'm wondering if anybody's going to do a side-by-side comparison of them, because it would be really, it would be instructive to those of us who are looking at this to see what the advantages and disadvantages are with each of them. I doubt if they're a mirror image. And that is kind of a question.
Mr. Chairman, we've been doing one. I can provide that to the committee, and Senator Wilkins' office has also been doing one. They've got theirs in a little graph form, but I can get both of them to the committee. I think that would be useful.
Oh, thanks. I'd just be guessing, but I would suspect they'll all end up in finance at the same time. And Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kevin, thanks for all your work. I know you work extensively with all the communities through the AML on this, and spend a lot of time on this, and I know I've had plenty of discussions with it with you. The amendment that was proposed earlier by Representative Ledoux that would add communities in unorganized areas of the state, this has a finite amount of approximately $27 million that would be used to communities. By adding all the small communities that are 20 population, 25 persons or greater, would that greatly dilute the amount of money that, because there's a finite amount of money? Now I believe we just added hundreds of more communities around the state.
Representative Newman, I believe what Representative from Kodiak wanted to do was add the communities within the boroughs, the unincorporated communities. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
But to answer your question, it does add a number, significant number of new participants.
Mr. Chair, I think Bill Ralston actually probably has the best shot at answering that question. I think under the old program, there were about 75 unincorporated communities received assistance this is in the CS that you put on the table. So that would be 75 times 25,000. And then I don't have a number for the unorganized communities within boroughs, and maybe Mr. Rolfson does.
Mr. Rolfson, care to comment? Thank you, Mr. Ritchie.
For the record, my name is Bill Rolfson, employee of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Unincorporated communities within organized boroughs, it depends on how you define those unincorporated communities. There could be as few as 75. There could be possibly, you know, well over 100. We'd have to go through and, depending on the definition, make that determination at that time. But as with the CS, we'll add roughly 75 within the unorganized borough. And again, depending on how that's defined within boroughs, we'd probably at least double that amount.
How were these smaller communities handled 3 years ago when we still had municipal assistance?
Historically, only unincorporated communities within the unorganized borough receive funding directly from the state through revenue sharing or capital matching grants or other such programs.
Any questions for Representative Sismith?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess another question would be, before the CS, how many communities were included on the bill before this, in version A? How many communities actually were included in that?
Representative Sismith, I believe you should have a spreadsheet that we produced that shows the payments, but there's roughly 163 incorporated cities and boroughs plus the Metlakatla Indian community, which would make it approximately 164 total communities.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
If I might just make a...
Oh, certainly.
If I can get my... On the CS, where you define under 2960810 the qualifications for an unincorporated community to receive the money, I believe that language is similar to the language in existing statute to pay Metlakatla under the Safe Communities Program and forest receipts, and it's different than the language we used under the old revenue sharing program to pay unincorporated communities. So under 810, as you have it set up now, Native Village Councils across the state and these unincorporated communities will have to all form community development corporations and hold annual elections, which I think is a little, which is significantly different than the way we treated the unincorporated in the past, the Native Village Councils and nonprofits. This language, what you have in here, was specific to Metlakatla and the old programs, not broadly against all the unincorporated communities.
Representative Thomas, was that your intent?
I wasn't paying attention here. Didn't they?
Could you repeat that again for Representative Thomas?
Yes. Under the old Safe Communities and Forest Receipt Program, we had language that's very similar, identical to the 810 to pay Metlakatla under those programs. We used different language when we paid the Native Village Councils and nonprofit community associations across the state under the Unincorporated Community Aid Program under capital matching grants and revenue sharing. That language, it's under 2960-140, is the language we used to pay the Native Village Councils and nonprofits. And it is somewhat different than the language under 810.
Well, we tried to be consistent with the old plan. My understanding, and still try to pick up some of the smaller villages. It's my belief in feeling that, like I said earlier, that everybody deserves a fair share of the oil wealth in Alaska. Right. Just the fact that somebody doesn't like their political position or their how they're managed or how they're organized, it I don't think is fair. So I like to be as liberal as I can, and somebody's going to take this language and melt it all anyway again. So.
I just wanted to point that out for the
Representative Salmon.
So this 2960-140, the language that was used in the past, if we were to add it to 2960.810, would that kind of help the situation?
Representative Salmon, that's correct. 810, with a slight amendment, would be appropriate to pay the Metlakatla Indian community through this program. And then if you added one more section that mirrored the old revenue sharing unincorporated community, that would cover all the other 75 to potentially 100 unincorporated with Native Village Councils. So they would not have to adopt a charter and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Representative Salmon?
So, Mr. Chairman, do you think it would be possible to add that language that Mr. Olson is indicating?
Any opposition? We'll add it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank
you. We'll have to update it.
Anybody else in the audience that cares to testify? Please come up.
Right. Ask Bill for the language.
Welcome, Mr. Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Wayne Stevens. I'm the president and CEO of the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce. Annually, the Alaska State Chamber membership meets to establish priorities and positions for the coming legislative session. And this year, one of our top six priorities for consideration is community dividend program, and I'll read you our position. The State Chamber urges the legislature to implement a sustainable community dividend using an endowment management method to provide local tax relief to business and families and to assist in providing basic public services throughout Alaska. We support the concepts, and as earlier testimony indicated, there are a plethora of bills trying to attempt to resolve the issue of the community dividend program. We would certainly urge passage of this bill from this committee. It's our belief that, as the chair noted, Finance Committee probably will be the collector of all 13, 14, 15 bills that are either introduced or proposed to be introduced. And a side-by-side comparison and the winnowing of the details at that juncture would be appropriate, and we certainly support your efforts to pass and adopt a community dividend program. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Any questions for Mr. Stevens? Anybody else in the audience? Sally?
I have a question for anybody.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Sally Sadler. I just wanted a quick comment on the committee substitute. Part of the spirit of this legislation is to provide financial incentives for borough formation and to protect those communities that have stepped up and taken the responsibility to organize and carry forth some of their local responsibilities. So I think if there was something, there is an administrative borough bill, and if something like that were to go through, part of the concern is some of the unincorporated communities may not be organized in a way to be accountable for the amount of money that they're receiving and distributing. So something like an administrative borough, in effect, would provide for that government-to-government connection and might help ensure that there is a more sustainable approach to using those funds at the community level. And then I did just want to share with you that Mr. Boucher has put together a great spreadsheet. We, too, have said, how do you keep track of all of these different revenue-sharing proposals? And as soon as we add the two that were introduced on Friday, we'd be happy to share it with the committee and the members.
Very much. Okay. Representative Thomas?
Yep. Again, my comments, and you know, I spent all summer on this administrative borough government and thought that we have an incentive package in there already. And I guess this would be conflicting with that, and that's why I'm trying to make it more broad into the fact that oil money, whether it's from the formerly from the permanent fund earnings, or used to be anyway, it's the Emirate Hess money, as I understand it, belongs to all Alaskans, regardless, again, about political affiliation. And so we're trying to get this back in track and go back to our bill, which we're trying to push through. If this thing, all of a sudden, let's say it passed, and then there's no incentive, for $1 million, but I believe that I'll say the governor didn't participate in the process, so it doesn't know the lack of land for many of the regions, and $1 million don't get it. Mm-hmm. You will not get any of the three boroughs in my district to form for $1 million. You know, if you get 300 acres of land, that is nothing out of state entitlement. So I'm glad you came up, because if we leave your language in there, we have an incentive bill, and this was the, it probably, when it's all merged, may not be in there. But if this was to pass in its present form, we have an incentive bill for less than 15,000 acres, you get $12.5 million. Mm-hmm. This would be an additional $1 million if they form. Mm-hmm. So I was going to, I know that when these bills move along, they're not going to all end up with the same. This language may not be in there. Probably won't if the administrative borough bill comes across from the Senate side. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, we have an incentive bill already out there, and I think it's confusing to put revenue sharing like this in this form, and at least, and if it's the wish of the committee, I'll object to moving this bill from committee because of that. I think that we should be concentrating on community dividends and equally, and let the administrative bureau, which we have, and let's see, Representative Salmon worked on too this summer, to try to go forward. Mm-hmm. If we don't make it, we'll try it again next year, I guess, but that's my feelings today.
Any questions for Ms. Sadler? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the audience wish to testify on behalf of this bill? Any questions from the committee? Representative Sisman.
Thank you. I have a question of Co-Chair Thomas. Just clarification. I wanted to make sure that I was understanding your thinking, that in fact you're looking at this dividend to be kind of a mere image of the dividend that we receive every man, woman, and child in the state, and kind of on that basis, that this is a mirror of that, but for communities. Is that what you're saying?
Through the chair, yes, Representative Sisna. We worked on this bill this summer for an incentive and formation of boroughs, and I'm not saying this is a disincentive, but I think that it clouds kind of both of them. I can understand the incentive portion, but when I look at oil revenue and it's the Amaretta Hess money, I think it belongs to everybody, and it's no different than if we took the permanent fund check or earnings and exclude a political faction or group of people is wrong. That's why we changed this, like we did, to try to be consistent, where everybody shares equally on oil monies, and let the administrative bureau bill come through, go through the process. We have not, for the information, this is just a committee discussion now, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For the, we have not introduced the administrative bureau on this side because we want to see what it looks like on the Senate side. If they take the incentives out, then we won't introduce the bill on this side. There's no reason to go forward with formation of boroughs unless there's an incentive. And it's kind of a lot of, it all revolves around the land. I mean, when you get some boroughs who have 200,000, 300,000 acres of land, and you have communities, Petersburg-Wrangell Borough for 2,100 acres, that's not, you know, there's no way they can sustain a government. The other one is the Glacier Bay Borough for 321 acres. There's no way that the people there said they can run a government with 300 acres of land or 2,100. And I'm not sure what it, I think the Prince of Wales might have been the biggest one with 6,000 previously to the University of Alaska taking all the land out of there. Right now, we've gutted pretty much the primo land in southeast. So what land they will get will not be the greatest. So we have that incentive bill over there for them. So I hate to see it clouded in a bill like this, and try to keep our feet held to the fire by pushing a bill through. Once people understand that the incentive bill, which is the administrative borough bill, that I think they will see what we're trying to do. And I think clouding it is wrong.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As Co-Chair Thomas has mentioned several times, I just want to make sure that I'm clear on this for my people who are very adamant about use of the permanent fund dividend is this is Amaretta Hess funds, and it's not permanent fund dividend funds. It's a separate account. And it is not permanent fund dividend money. Thank you.
I'm just saying, through the chair, I'm just saying that whatever fund it is, as long as it's oil revenue money, I think
yes,
it shares equally.
Representative Salmon.
No.
Representative Ledoux.
With the amendment, I'm fine with this.
Any other questions? What is the intent of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I move CS 371-24-GH-2063/G with amendments, approved amendments, and fiscal note out of this committee.
Is there any opposition? Yep. Send it up to finance. There'll be a new fiscal note, I believe. I don't think the one that we have right now is accurate, so that'll follow behind it, but we'll order that up today also.
And you get the changes?
With that, I think we'll adjourn.